What's up, everybody? Welcome to Smoking Weed and Talking MMA. My name is Jared. I'm here with my good friend Paul.
What's up?
And we are coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada, fight capital of the world. And on today's episode, Paul and I are going to be smoking weed and talking all about UFC 234. We're going to take a look ahead to the UFC's debut on the main ESPN network, headlined by Francis Ngannou versus Cain Velasquez. We are going to be taking a look at the continued talk of Cowboy versus Conor McGregor, now possibly for an interim lightweight title. And of course, we will wrap things up with our Fighters Who Smoke segment. But first, before all of that, we have our Weed of the Week.
Smoke weed every day.
We got some good herb today, which we've actually topped with some hash. Our weed of the week this week, Paul, is actually not weed at all. It is some hash provided by our friends at OMG THC. You can find out more about them. Their website, omgthc.com, is actually being built, but their parent company, Experience Premium Cannabis, you can go to their website. That's EPC Las Vegas. This is old school Afghani hash, dude.
Fuck yeah.
It is the only company in Las Vegas making this right now. If you're lucky enough to find it in a store, you should grab some up. What do you think, dude?
I like it.
Like, this is stuff, like, back in the day, I mean, people have been smoking Afghani-style hash for literally hundreds of years. Like, they talk about it in the Quran as possibly having hash mentioned inside of it. Like, how dope is that?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Man, and it's, I'm gonna hit this real quick.
Yeah, no worries.
We got this weed that we're mixing it with today. We got some Pineapple Express. We got a strain called the White. But we're mainly just using these for, like, bedding for our hash smoking today.
Yeah.
So we've got in this little, if you're watching on video, we've got this little chillum that's been layered. We've got some weed and we've got some hash layers right in between it. We've got a bowl here that we've mixed both kinds of weed. And we've done some the same thing. We've layered hash all throughout this bowl. Before the show, we were actually hitting it on a dab rig, which they say you're really not technically supposed to do, because Afghani hash is not a full melt hash in most cases. So what that means is there's a little bit of residue left behind. So you wouldn't necessarily hit this, Paul, like a traditional, like you would some shatter or some butter on your rig. But any of us old school smokers that have ever done a hot knife hit with some hash know exactly what I'm talking about. You can heat that glass up, you can drop it on there, and you can get a pretty good hit that way. But this is some white cheese. White cheese is a cross, Paul, of some White Widow and cheese. Pretty self-explanatory on the strain name with there.
Yeah.
And that's a hybrid, about a 50-50 mix. And we also got a Burkle, which is a pure indica hash. You got a favorite so far?
I like that Burkle. It's pretty good.
The Burkle's a good weed strain, too.
Yeah.
I
haven't really had a lot of the white cheese yet, though, so I've got to give it a second. We'll see after this joint.
Yeah, we've also got a joint here that we've taken both kinds of our weed, and we've ground them up, and then we've layered some nice little tubes. Like, you can take Afghani hash, which is pretty cool. You can roll it into a real thin tube, then you can just roll a joint around it. So inside this pre-roll here, or not pre-roll, inside this joint here, we've got first a bit of the white cheese, and we finish up with a nice long tube of the Burkle. You know what else I like
Fire
to do?
Fire that bitch up.
You know what else I like to do is... I like to sprinkle keef inside of these puppies, yeah. Too, man. But if you have some hash and you can't do any of these things, you can just put that shit right on top of a bowl, pack it down a little bit in the center, put a little bit of weed on top of it so it doesn't flame up on you, and then you can just smoke it that way. You don't really need fancy dab rigs or anything else. Yeah. So we're going to fire this up. OMG THC, though, they've been sponsoring us here for a couple of these episodes, so we did mention them last week, and this week is all. The real important thing to know about this company, folks, is it's solventless extraction.
Yep.
Now, of course, with hash, Afghani hash, it's going to be a solventless extraction because this is made through ice and pressure and sifting through bags. It has nothing to do with butane or propane or any heavy-duty machinery, which is why people have literally been making this for hundreds of years. So it's kind of cool to hit it on the show. It's kind of some cannabis history. In effect, I'm gonna fire up this bad boy.
All right, well, let's get into it, man. So last night, UFC 234, I mean, wasn't the event it was supposed to be. Unfortunately, Robert Whittaker was forced to pull out hours before the event.
Yeah, day of the fight, right? Yeah. That's the current middleweight champion, folks.
Yeah, unfortunately, he had a freaking hernia that was causing his intestines to freaking bulge out.
Yeah, and his colon. Parts of his colon were really bulging out, too. They said it could have been life-threatening.
Yeah, they said if he would have gone through the fight, through with the fight, and he were to get hit in the stomach area, he could have gone septic.
Well, thank God. I mean, a lot of people like to talk shit about a fighter being a bitch because
Wanted to fight still.
Oh, man.
He was fighting his family.
Yeah, he was fighting his family. He wanted to get out and do it. But so no shame on him. He pulled out. We lost the main event. So that wound up bumping the Anderson Silva versus Israel Adesanya co-main event into the headlining spot. Seems like the event was still a sellout down in Australia. You know, Dana, of course, he's being Dana, so who knows if it's true or not. But he said they didn't have a lot of refunds.
I mean, why would you, though? Think about it. You already planned your day out. You're going to go to the event anyways. Why would you just, like, you know, fuck it?
No, absolutely. I mean, the event overall was pretty decent. I got to be honest here. I don't know if it was worth $65 on pay-per-view. I mean,
well, yeah, no. Just being frank here as a fan. I understand if you wanted your refund on pay-per-view, but I'm talking about in person. If I wouldn't, like, if I had already paid for my ticket to watch a fight, I'd still go to the fight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, me too. I wouldn't cancel the fight.
Yeah. But if I understand what you're saying pay-per-view-wise, yeah, that would suck. But as far as, like, tickets to the fight, I'm not surprised they had, like, very few, if not any, refunds, he said.
We're hitting that fucking hash in this joint right here. Now you can taste it. That's that white cheese. I can tell the difference. We got like, an inch of white cheese, and the whole rest of that on there is going to be that Burkle. That's burning nice. I really like these. Again, folks, you come out to Las Vegas. I mean, how can you be a cannabis smoker? Not everybody knows a grower. So if you're living in a state that doesn't have legal shit and you don't know a grower, you're not getting any hash from anybody. It's just not something that's really sold these days. So if you're heading out here, definitely hit up that OMG THC and you will be coughing like my co-host Paul is on some fine, fine hashish. You all right there, buddy?
Uh-huh.
All right, word. So Anderson Silva versus Israel Adesanya became main event. It kind of went as expected, right? I ain't going to deny that was a fun fight, but ultimately Adesanya won a decision.
Well, here's the thing.
Hold on a sec. It was, what, 30-27, 30-27, 29-28.
Right. Here's the thing. People are, like, making it out to be like it was going to be this drag-it-out brawl. Like, dude, everyone knew Anderson, like... He didn't want to hurt Anderson, too. Like, you could tell. He just wanted to have, like, a fun fight where he was just going to beat him handily. But it was gonna be fun for everybody.
So you think Adesanya held back a little bit 100%. Last night?
Really? 100%. 100%.
You think that's dangerous?
No. Not when you're fighting a 43-year-old 42. Anderson Silva.
42.
He's about to be 43.
Is he? I thought he just turned 42. I don't know. He's an old man, though.
He's old, though.
He's coming off of drug suspension.
And?
I found that interesting in the broadcast last night. They kept saying he's returning from a layoff, like he decided he was old and going to take a vacation. Actually, it was a drug suspension, his second. Seems to get a pass on that, though. I don't know why. John Jones gets crucified. Old, he gets a pass. Is it just because he's old? People are like, fuck it.
It's like people like saying, like all the old dudes take steroids, honestly.
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't bother me. I don't care. Good for Anderson. He had a fun fight
last
night.
Adesanya even goes, he goes, fuck, he can do whatever TRT he wants. I don't care. Let's go. I want a good fight.
I don't know if Izzy was holding back, though. That's an interesting theory. Maybe he was. Maybe he wasn't. I find that a deadly or possibly deadly consequences with something like that. Because Anderson, he can still.
But here's the thing.
He can still throw down. It's He's not about, Chuck Liddell coming well, off no, of 8 years of
inactivity.
It's
not that he held back. He stuck to the game plan. He didn't take any risks. In a lot of his fights, he would take a lot more risks that he didn't take in that fight.
Yeah, that was a very he didn't take any risks. It was a pretty safe fight. Although he did lots of flashy kicks and lots of flashy striking.
Yeah, but that's
striking.
The thing. He was doing it at a point where it was almost out of range at sometimes. And same thing with Anderson. They both were like throwing techniques that were just like a little bit out of range. So right. Like There was really no chance of them landing him, but it was like, it was fun to see how the other one would react.
So we had Kelvin Gastelum losing his fight last night. I mean, he's the odd man out here, but what he decided to do was take Henry Cejudo's belt, kind of make a heel turn, and then start calling himself the champion, which in wrestling circles, as you're certainly well aware of, he would have been champ by forfeit. Am I wrong?
In any major sport, dude.
Any major sport, yeah. I mean, if the Patriots are in the locker room before the Super Bowl,
and they're like, "Oh, we're not," and they're like,
"We're all sick. We just got the flu. We can't come out." I'm pretty certain that the other team would be declared the champs that year, due to a forfeiture.
So, and here's my thing: if Robert Whittaker would have pulled out before he weighed in, it would have been a different story. But the fact of him weighing in makes it official, you know what I'm saying? Like, although the bell hasn't rung, it's like the fight is on when both guys make weight. So I just feel like it should almost be treated as like an injury default.
I agree with that. What did you think of Kelvin proclaiming himself champ?
But then again, on the backside, Kelvin Gastelum also shows up to the arena with a little bit of funk on his face and the back of his neck that I don't know if he should be able to be cleared by a fucking doctor to fight in that fight.
That was pretty weird looking. Now, it's getting a lot of press afterwards because Conor McGregor said that he was covered in worms and that the belt had to be sterilized.
Also,
yeah, he was talking about ringworm.
It also looks like, it also kind of looks like impetigo, but like, dude, it looks nasty.
That's rare in an adult, dude. Is that big in wrestling circles?
Yeah, dude.
Like in regular life, like that's, you have to deal with that as a parent.
Well, no,
kid,
now they've definitely cleaned it up in the last few years. But back in the day, dude, like people, you would always make sure, like everywhere we go, we'd have to like super antibacterial crazy soap.
Yeah.
Because like literally, there's a company that is made by wrestlers that literally came out with a soap company, and now they're like super famous for this. They sell this like soap to only wrestlers.
And he gets rid of that shit, make sure they don't get that shit. That makes sense. But yeah, he looked fucked up. He had it on his under his lip, his chin, some funk on the back of his neck. Too.
That's what happens, dude. Though.
Well,
sometimes.
Maybe it's for the best then, ultimately, that nobody fought in that main event. But so what do you think's next, though? Does Israel Adesanya get to fight Kelvin Gastelum for an interim title?
No, because they're saying Whitaker is only possibly going to be out 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, I listened to Dana say that, and then in the same breath, he was like, I talked to somebody else with a hernia who said that was crazy. And I can speak from experience, having been a boxer who went through a hernia. Yeah, that was no fun.
Yeah,
dude.
But Robert Whitaker's a tough motherfucker.
And so am I. I resent the implication that I am a bitch. No, I know, dude. Robert Whittaker. I'm just joking.
Robert Whittaker, has
tough or not, it depends.
Yoel Romero,
it depends on where it is. If it's in his groin, if it's like above his groin in that muscle right there, it doesn't matter how tough he is. Like, you can't use the muscle. Like,
well, no.
It also depends on the style of surgery that he has. Like, if they cut into the muscle, or if they go in like through his belly button and go down and underneath, then his recovery time is drastically changed by that. So, who knows the surgery he had? I didn't look that up, but.
Well, I
would tend to think it's
going to
be a little
weeks.
Bit. I don't know. Did the doctor say that or did Dana say that?
Well, Dana said,
because Dana, the very next breath, said that like he would be surprised if he was ready in 4 to 6 weeks.
I mean,
the hernia recovery can take a minute.
Well, no. I'm not expecting him to fight in 4 to 6 weeks. I'm saying
no. He'd have to have a camp
back
after
to
that.
Training
yeah.
in like 4 to 6 weeks. So.
So, what do you think? Interim? No interim? Do you think they rebook?
No, just because I only think he it hasn't even been a year since he defended that.
It's been 8 months.
Yeah, so.
So, if he.
You think he's going to be out another.
He's out 2 months, and then you have, another 2 month camp at the shortest possible. That's another 4 months. That's, that's a year right there at the soonest. I'm not calling for him to be stripped or anything. I'm just curious. The way the fucking UFC is, the way they are with these interim belts. And here's my next question.
Here's the thing. It would have to depend on if he was willing to fight, like, as soon as he was done, like, off injury. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, if he, like, him and Dana and Gaslam all got together and they figured out a date where it was like, I'll be good by this date. And if he's good by then, it's never going to be a problem, you know? If there's a date in everyone's mind, like, if they give, like, okay, let's say they make that fight official. And they put that out to the media. no one's going to call for him to be stripped because everyone's going to be like, he has a scheduled fight.
Well, he wouldn't get stripped. They'd do an interim title and leave him with his belt.
I don't think so.
They didn't get fucking stripped.
I just don't like the interim titles.
Well, yeah, I don't either, but I mean, the UFC likes them.
But at the same time, you do have two number one contenders at this point.
And UFC's going to need another championship fight to fill some kind of fucking pay-per-view coming up here, I guarantee it.
It really is all going to depend on his recovery from the surgery. That's what they said on the press conference. So, see what happens.
Oh, man, that's a long-burning joint right here.
Yeah. Maybe, let's say he comes back around July. Maybe International Fight Week.
Well, here's what I'm leading up to. Like, I don't really care when Whitaker comes back from my point in this discussion. Is I think the UFC is going to hand out an interim belt. I think they'll do it. And I think they're probably, because they want Israel Adesanya to be the next up. They want to wrap gold around his belt. I think they're going to try and push something like that on a quick turnaround. Izzy likes to fight fast. I'm thinking they could do it in as little as 2 months from now.
Kelvin's ready right now.
Maybe 9 weeks. And that'll be, I mean, Whitaker won't even be out of his, I mean, he might be recovered, but he won't be ready for camp, ready to fight by that point. Okay. So I don't mean they'll strip him, but I think they'll throw out another candy interim title.
I could see that.
I mean, I think Dana's salivating at the idea personally. The UFC fucking loves that shit now. Yeah. But then does Adesanya take it? Because look what happened to the last interim champion.
You know what nobody's talking about, though, that is also coming up? Is Paulo Costa and Yoel Romero still are going to fight?
Did that get booked again?
And that could have serious implications if Paulo Costa were to finish Yoel Romero.
You sure that didn't get canceled again? I'm almost positive that was canceled again.
It's not what I read. I read that they were.
That's dope. If that's back on, that definitely has serious title consequences.
Because
do they have a date for that yet? You know,
I'm not sure. I just read some more. I can't.
Yeah, remember. The winner of that fight would have a strong claim at a title shot too. I don't think that Adesanya wants to wait though. I think he would accept an interim title fight.
Yeah.
But I don't think he would take anybody else.
I think he also wants to fight Robert Whittaker though, because I think so. I think he would take the Kelvin Gastelum fight just so he could fight Robert Whittaker instead of Gastelum possibly beating Whittaker. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because they can bank on that fight in Australia for sure, or New Zealand. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, as far as I know, Costa's not injured. Yeah, injured. Paulo Costa's injured. He wants Yoel Romero to wait for him.
Fuck,
as
dude,
of
like,
November.
They haven't getting injured.
Heard anything
My
back
God
on it.
Damn, yeah. Dude. That's ridiculous.
I don't know. Injury still, bugs be striking everybody.
Yeah. I mean,
and that's that. This joint went out. I think I'm going to relight it though, because I just got that. I can see a string of hash still sitting right there. What are you thinking, dude? As we're smoking this, you like that shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm digging it too, man. That's fucking. I like that hash high. It's good. A lot of people think it's whack because like the THC content's only like 50%. But they don't realize it's got that full spectrum in there.
Yeah.
But anyways, back with Anderson Silva, Izzy. So let's move on from the interim title. No interim title talk. Either way. Izzy had a great fight. Anderson had a great fight. Anderson, what's next for him, dude? He made some interesting call-outs.
Yeah.
Talking about Nick Diaz.
Nick Diaz rematch.
Conor McGregor's and talking then, about fighting Anderson and, Silva.
And then also, Conor McGregor, after Anderson Silva calls Nick Diaz out to fight in, where are they fighting? In
Cortoba. It's in Brazil, in Anderson's hometown. Sorry if my pronunciation's off. But
yeah, I don't
whatever.
Know. All right, but then Conor goes on Twitter and says, sounds good. I'll fight Nick. All right, I'll fight Nate
for
the third time, dude. That'll be sick.
Could you imagine that? Anderson Silva versus Nick Diaz, Conor McGregor versus
That'd be probably
Nate
the
Diaz.
Biggest that'd be the biggest pay-per-view in UFC history for sure.
Isn't that the card that has Rose Namajunas defending as well?
Is it?
I'm pretty certain that's the Rose Namajunas versus Jessica Andrade title fight.
Damn, then Nunes and fucking Holly Holm are on that too.
Yeah, that ain't gonna happen.
Dude, imagine if that dude out in the most stacked card in UFC history, dude. That shit would be like soccer stadium they would have to do it in.
There'd be like four title fights?
No.
Rose, Nunes,
There's no
I
way.
I guess the Nate yeah, one would
the
be.
The Nate
yeah.
and Connor one, and then
yeah.
the fucking.
And then Anderson, too. See, Anderson, I'm so used to Nate. All those guys yeah. having belts, yeah. but who would you put in the title? You couldn't have the two title fights at the top of that card, not with Connor versus Nate. That never
Dude.
Happened.
How sad.
Have him
that.
Have him like four fights
How
down the card.
How pissed would everybody be if, oh, dude, especially because that's a big night for like women's MMA for sure because it's going to be like a double women's title fight card.
Yeah.
And then Conor McGregor just comes and ruins
Honestly, they shouldn't do that. They
shouldn't probably
take shouldn't
do that.
They
actually.
Shouldn't take the shine off that card at all. Those ladies deserve to fucking be at the top of
but
the card. I admire Rose for going in there and fighting them broad.
They should do another card in Brazil with Conor and Anderson Silva.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
Anderson's only got one fight left, man.
You think? I don't think she should
no,
fight Conor.
He literally only has one fight left on his contract.
Oh, well.
It's all, yeah, it's all, he I said mean, he's only fighting anything. Out his contract.
Dude, yeah, I don't believe that much either.
I think so, dude. He like said he was basically retired after that fucking drug suspension. And then he came back
and fought a young and hungry fighter on the undercard and then promptly called for another fight.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's 1 foot in, 1 foot out right now. And I think... And he's, like, crying at the weigh-in shit. Like, come on, man.
He was pretty emotional at the weigh-ins.
He's, like, on the comeback. And then he did the funny-ass Adrian thing from Rocky at the end. That was funny.
You think if he fights... you think Nick would take the fight?
Fuck yeah.
In Brazil?
Fuck
Nick,
yeah.
Speaking of retired fighters, I mean, Gilbert Melendez just came out and said Nate's a businessman and Nick is a retired fighter.
Yeah.
Gilbert would know. And that's the whole scrap pack team right there.
Unless
what do you think?
Unless Gilbert's just trying to fucking fuck with everybody and watch like both the Diaz brothers get booked like next week. No, I just think they're in a weird spot because both of them like they're in like an arms race with the UFC, man. They're like, we're better than all these guys. Give us the fucking top guys. It's like, dude, you haven't fought in like 2 years.
I know,
fuck
I love
it,
both
I'll
those
still
guys,
beat the champion right now. It's like, dude, we can't take you seriously. Like, calling out Daniel Cormier and shit. Like, come on, Nick. But at the same time, I'd like to see all those fights.
Oh, so would I. I love the Diaz brothers.
Yeah.
But I wish they would fucking
fight,
man.
I wish they'd
fight,
man. Fuck. Damn. I want to see them fight.
Or if they're not going to fight, just be like, yeah, we're done. But then, yeah. I mean, I guess they kind of say that, but no one believes it. Because they also show up at events, and call out fighters.
Beat fighters up at concerts and shit.
Slap around Khabib a little bit.
And call him a bitch on Twitter.
That shit's pretty funny.
Dude, I legitimately would like to see Nick Diaz versus Khabib.
Oh, I find that fight pretty interesting. If anybody can fight Khabib on top versus
think Nick,
Nick on his back.
Again?
Yeah. I think Nate's actually bigger than Nick these days.
Think so?
I do. I've seen them both in person recently. Fairly recently, within the past 2 years. And Nate has fucking gotten... He's filled out a lot.
Yeah.
Like,
still, if he fights Connor, he'll probably be at 155.
I would be so surprised. I mean, it probably will be. And that would give Connor probably the advantage
he
would need in that
Poirier
fight.
He was going to fight Poirier at 155.
Right. He was.
But then he also was like fucking calling for the weight class to be moved the whole time.
Well, speaking of Connor, I mean, that kind of wraps up the card from last night. I mean, there were some great fights on there, but there's nothing we really need to rehash. But real quick, since we're talking about Connor, before we take a look ahead to the next card, what do you think of this sudden talk? Like, we talked last week a little bit about McGregor versus Cowboy seems to be gaining some traction. Mm-hmm. And Cowboy went out in public and made a statement, so that's going to be for the interim title because Khabib, as we know, is taking a year off.
Yeah.
So,
which is weird.
I don't even want to get into that. Whatever, Khabib. But so he's not going to fight for a year. They're going to have to do an interim title. Cowboy says it's him versus Connor. From a sporting side, I don't like it. I'll just tell you my views because it's short and simple. From a fan side, okay, cool. But the sportsman in me is like, wow, neither one of them deserves that. But
yeah, dude, I mean, Connor's like
y'all want to make it a title
Connor's
fight?
Connor's lost
cool.
like three of his last four fights, dude.
I know. If you count that boxing match, too.
Who's he lost to?
Well, he lost to Khabib, and he lost to
Lost Khabib.
Nate, and he lost to Floyd. And then between them, he beat...
Jesus.
No. Yeah. He beat Nate.
Oh, he beat Nate, and he beat, Eddie Alvarez. But, dude, that Khabib fight just made it look so fucking bad, dude.
Well, I think maybe, like, Cowboy sort of has some claim to it, like an interim title. Like, there's some guys he's definitely stepping over. But Connor, nah, dude, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, like I was saying.
At least put one more fight together.
The sporting side of me thinks no way, dude. You couldn't possibly do that. The fan in me would, I'm on board with it just to see it happen. But the sporting side weighs out. But do I think the UFC will do it?
Probably.
I think it's probably 60-40.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, about the same.
Yeah. It'd be interesting. Connor is showing up in social
Here's
media
the thing.
A lot more.
Do you think Connor will defend that interim belt? I could see Connor McGregor doing something like that.
Maybe. Depends on how long Khabib is out.
So I'm saying, if he's going to be out for a year, Connor could fight two more times this year. There's that much time.
He could fight as early as April.
Yeah.
And he could turn around and fight again in July or August.
Or even like November in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. That'd be interesting. Well, we're going to have to see how that plays out, man. It's interesting to see all this talk, though, come in. And we got fucking Anderson Silva talking about fighting Conor McGregor. Cowboy talking about fighting Conor McGregor.
Well,
Conor talking about fighting all of them plus Nate.
Here's the thing. That's a great idea, though. So, yeah, he's still going to fight Cowboy, but then he's going to beat Cowboy. And then they can fight him and Nate for the belt.
It'd be an interim, yeah, with the winner. I would like that, too, actually. I would like that.
That would get Nate Diaz back in the mix, for sure.
They could actually squeeze that out this year, too. Yeah,
it gives Connor a chance to win a fight in the Cowboy fight, win that stupid interim belt, and then he will defend it against Nate
Diaz. Yeah, quote-unquote defend it against Nate Diaz, because that's going to give Nate some fucking gold.
And then what? So what's that bring? When's that bring Khabib back? Next October?
November, he wants to do a year because his boy's got the year, so he said
when
he's going to do the year.
That
it was in October.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It was the beginning of October 6th, it was, so it would be retroactive to then. So I'm not sure when Ramadan falls, but I don't know if he has time for a training camp. I don't know, but basically a year is what he's saying. So, yeah, they could do that. That'd be a pretty dope scenario, actually. Unless Connor wins all those and then Khabib comes back and just smashes him again and then Connor goes off in shame. I don't think Connor wants that fight, actually. But who knows?
He wants it back. He keeps saying he wants it back.
We'll see. Can't fight him like that, though. You can't fight that style. But we've been over that.
Also, what we haven't talked about, but is it sounds like, from what I'm hearing on a bunch of different reporters, is that Connor might be shopping out, looking for a different camp.
I'd like that. I would. That make me a believer in his return fights.
They're talking about he was in Florida,
was do that.
Looking at American Top Team.
Yeah, I heard
What's
some
that
shit
guy's
about him being in Atlanta.
That, you had me follow on Twitter.
Mike Russell.
Yeah, he's the one who tweeted that shit.
Shout out to Mike Russell, investigative journalist, like the only one in MMA I've ever seen. Dude has some interesting posts.
Yeah, he said possible.
It's possible.
That'd be sick. That'd be great for him because that's a camp filled with wrestlers.
Yeah, it would be good for him. I'm down with that plan.
Here's the thing, is if he's ever going to beat that motherfucker, I don't think he ever will probably, but if he's ever going to, he's not going to be able to do it on the defense. He's going to need to counter like everything he does with better offense to
beat him. He has to have Khabib coming forward towards him and work off the counter, not marching.
That's
him
where
forward.
He's always been at his best, though. Eddie Alvarez fight, fucking Jose Aldo was a fucking slip. Like, come on, dude. Like, all his best fights, he's always been in the pocket, dodging punches and throwing back. Even the Nate Diaz fight, even the first one he lost, he still showed great striking in that one and in the second one. So he just needs to go back to his bread and butter, man. He needs to stop worrying about the other dude's offense and try to push the fight himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because he literally was just on the complete defense that whole fight. Strange.
It was really weird.
And then when he was walking him down, he started to get a little bit of... Because Khabib kind of faded in the third. But You know, and the third is where he found his most, you know, successful parts of the fight. After that, though, he started to fade. That's one thing is he's got a fucking... His offense was just not as crisp as it was before.
No, he looked off in that fight. Not making excuses, but he did. He looked like fucking
but
rusty.
But put two more fights on him and see where he's at.
That's why I'm a fan of this this fight here coming up. Yeah. It's not made yet, but it seems every indication is pointing towards, if it's not for a belt or it is, whatever, yeah. Interim or no interim bullshit, it's looking like that shit's going to get made.
It's a good fight. You see Cowboy last night? Fucking did a shoey in his fucking cowboy boot.
Dude, and then he passed his own boot over to Tuivasa, who probably did the same thing. I don't know. That's crazy, dude. Fucking shoey shit. Shout out to all of y'all.
Dude, they spit in it, too.
Yeah, they spit in it.
It's gross.
That's so weird.
Nasty as fuck.
They're fucking rocking that shit, though, man.
They're rocking that
shit. They are fucking Cowboy. Don't give a fuck. He's like, I'll do it, man. I don't give a fuck. So let's take a look ahead, though. We got UFC coming back. The main ESPN card, the first one, which I'm presuming. I mean, right now we're calling it like UFC Phoenix, whatever.
Yeah.
UFC likes to number these things. I'm guessing it's going to be UFC on ESPN 1.
Yeah.
Which is awkward because we already have UFC on ESPN Plus, number one and number two. Weird. Whatever. That's how the UFC likes to rock it. It's headlined by the returning Cain Velasquez fighting. I don't know. Can you say he's resurging, the resurging Francis Ngannou? I don't know. I think
he put Blades out, dog.
Because he put Blades out. Blades is a good wrestler, but.
Dude, this is a good fight. I really would Taylor like to made. See where Kane's at.
We'll see.
Dude, we'll imagine see. You, Francis just sleeps Kane, dude.
It could happen. Francis can sleep anybody.
Cormier would fight Francis if that
happened. Dude, do you know how unlucky Kane would be to get slept on the first Fox card and get slept on the first ESPN card? That would be sad. Dude, I'm not that big of a fan of Kane. I respect his fighting, obviously, but I'm not really on the Kane train.
The
cage. Fucking, see, you like that one.
The cane train, what? Who calls it that?
Me. I'm not on the cane train.
Oh, shit.
You know, he's a great fighter and all that. But I think it's just tailor-made for him to beat Ngannou and then make a claim for another title shot, which I just don't want to see, but okay. All right, we'll see what happens. I hope he makes it to the fight and doesn't get injured. I hear AKA has changed up their training. Have you heard this?
I hope so. Fuck.
I've heard that they've moved from what a lot of people refer to as Stone Age methods
onto
some slightly safer shit. So maybe their guys will make it. I don't wish back problems on anybody, but they do. Kane always gets
hurt. So where do you
hurt.
Think a win here puts Kane?
In need of fighting a top three fighter after that. I don't think Ngannou's a top three fighter. I think he's the type of guy that a really solid wrestler can easily handle, just like Stipe did.
Kane's got hands, too. What if Kane goes out there and strikes with him and knocks him out?
It could happen, but...
But let's say he goes out there and he knocks Francis out. Where do you think that puts him in the heavyweight division?
In need of a top three fight before he gets a...
I think that puts him in a vacated title fight against Stipe Miocic.
You don't think DC's no ever going to give him that rematch? Cause DC knows he won because he blinded fucking Stipe with them eye pokes.
Well, here's the thing. DC's gone, dude. You got to think. If he gets that Brock fight, he's gone. So if you get rid of DC, then you got Stipe. And then I guess Alistair, but who wants to see Alistair or Stipe again?
No, he's probably, if he beats Ngannou, he's probably going to get a title shot at one way or the other. I'm just...
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see. I wish no man ill will, but I just don't think he can. I mean, the dude is always hurt.
Stipe versus Kane has always been the fight everyone's always wondered about.
I know Stipe's like that. When he first came out and Kane was champ, they were calling Stipe the new breed that would beat Kane. They're like, this is what you need, a guy with this size who can fight like that too.
Yeah. So we'll see, man.
That would be dope if it worked out that way.
I'd like to see that next.
I like it.
But I wouldn't overlook Francis either. Francis could put anyone to sleep in that division.
Dude, they're stacking that shit up. They're stacking that card up, though. There's other fights on there. Like, there's a good lightweight fight that James Vick versus Paul Felder.
Yeah, that's I like a that fight a lot.
Right there.
Paul Felder coming back to lightweight after that little stint at welterweight.
Yeah. I like him better at lightweight.
And he broke his arm, right?
Yeah.
Coming yeah, he back did break after his arm. That.
We got...
He's looking shredded, though. Oh, my gosh. He posted this shit on Twitter. He's like, one more week. And he's like, oh, fucking hooked up as a goddamn fool.
Shit.
That fool cut so much weight, though. He probably should fight 170, to be honest.
He's a pretty big dude.
He said he cuts from like 190. That's ridiculous.
He goes into fight week at 190?
No, not fight week. Like
where he starts
around.
Off his camp. Yeah. He walks around at 190. He gets down to 170. Well, depending on how out of shape
he gets. He probably
gets
down
camp.
To 170 during like camp and then cuts from 170 to 155.
That's big dude, man. Fuck.
He's a big motherfucker.
Got Jimmy Rivera versus Aljamain Sterling on that card.
I like that fight a lot.
I like that fight a lot at 135.
That's a chance for Aljamain Sterling to get his rep up. You know what I'm saying? Just because he's had a couple setbacks that have... Like, that knockout was rough, dude. Oh, my God. That was rough to watch. But if he goes out there and gets a win over a guy like Jimmy Rivera, he's right back in the mix.
Yeah, Jimmy Rivera's no joke.
Jimmy Rivera coming off that loss.
He's coming off the loss, but I mean, he had a 19 fight win streak prior to that. Yeah. You know, so he's
I think
still...
he was a little too emotional with Marais as well. They had a little seemed like hit, and then Ali got into it, of course, and all that shit. And...
That fucking guy.
Yeah. But both guys, you know, this is a like turn in the corner fight for both these guys, you know.
Absolutely, and it's also...
I mean, at the same time, though, Aljo's still a young dude. I think if he were to lose this fight, he'd still be all right, whereas this is Jimmy Rivera's chance to get back in the mix. If he loses this fight, it'll probably set him back pretty far.
Yeah, I'd agree with that for sure. Got Cron Gracie making his debut against Alex Caceres. I like Caceres. He's always a fun fighter, but he's going to have his hands full with Cron
Gracie.
Yeah, fuck,
man.
This
is going to be a rough outing for him.
Yeah, I don't know. Caceres is known for his flashy striking, you know, Bruce Leroy style.
Yeah, but Gracie's just going to fucking dominate him.
Yeah, Gracie's jiu-jitsu is obviously no joke. If you folks aren't familiar with the last name, it's the final word in jiu-jitsu, basically, is the Gracie name, and he's highly touted. You know, I'm excited for that fight. I feel a little bad for Caceres. I like that kid. I think he's just going to get murked, though.
Yeah, I think he's...
Don't think he's going to look good.
Not ready for this.
And he's on, like, the main portion of the card, you know, on ESPN. Yep. So they're looking at it as a showcase for Gracie, obviously.
Yeah.
I got some good women's fights on there. Ashley Evans-Smith is fighting.
Yeah.
That should
be a good one.
Yeah,
that should
be cool.
I think she's making her debut at 125.
Yeah, I do believe. Yeah, that's a flyweight. Yeah. It'll be interesting seeing her in that weight class.
Yeah, that weight class is missing a lot of contenders, so it'll be good to see some new faces, you know.
Yeah, it's good. I still maintain that was the most needed weight class.
In women's division, yeah, for
in
sure.
In the UFC for a
big,
while. It's such a drop, 115 to 135
is such a big, like, balance. It's
I mentioned it before, so I won't go into specifics, but watching Valerie Letourneau drop from 135 in the UFC down to 115, I don't know how they didn't just make the flyweight division after seeing that weigh-in.
Yeah,
it was
Jesus.
One of the scariest things I've ever fucking seen as a fan. Like,
she was going to die.
I seriously thought she was... Yeah, I mean, I'm not exaggerating. I was like, dear God, she might die.
Yeah.
So, God bless the fucking 125-pound division was much needed in there. So, I'm word.
Yeah.
Nick Lentz is fighting Scott Holtzman. You know, that's not a major consequences fight, but I think that's a fun fight.
Yeah,
that's good. I mean, they're really kind of stacking this up. I'm looking at the card right now. Brian Barberena is going to be on there. Courtney Casey's fighting. Cynthia Cavillo's making her return on there.
Nice.
That's good. I like that fight, too. She's looking to make a statement, you know, coming back. Yeah. So, lots of cool shit coming there. But, well, that's a look ahead. You know, a look behind at the last event. We got our look ahead to the current one. And that brings us up to our fighter who smokes. This week, we already mentioned him once in a podcast. It made sense to stick with him. We got to go with the OG, really. The OG fighter who smokes. You know who it is if you're old school MMA. It's Nick Diaz. A lot of people might think we're going to say Nate. That's only if you're new. Nick is old school, man.
Yeah, Nick's a little bit... I mean, everyone knows him as the Diaz brothers, but Nick still set the path.
Yes. Nick, I'm looking up an article back in 2009. Nick Diaz was talking about, before his fight with Frank Shamrock, he was in an interview with the LA Times talking about not only is he a frequent cannabis user, but that he felt that it benefited him in multiple ways. And then he went on to tell them that they asked how he passed a drug test, and he said that he simply he said that he drank 10 pounds of water every day and he sweat out 10 pounds of water every day. And he did that shit for 2 weeks, and he'd be just fine. And that strategy worked for quite some time, up until testing got a bit better here in, 2015, when Nevada was like, wait a minute.
They tried to fucking lifetime ban him. That was the most bullshit suspension ever, dude. Oh,
now, to clue you in, if you don't know what we're talking about,
talk
folks,
about swinging your dick, dude. Like, come
Nick
on,
Diaz,
dude,
he fought Anderson Silva in 2015, both of whom we're talking about now. And both of them actually failed drug tests afterwards, but we won't get into Anderson. But Nick failed for marijuana, and then the fight was here in Nevada, and the Nevada State Athletic Commission, they brought down the fucking hammer.
I wonder if that law, if that rule's changed at all since the law's changed.
It has. They have lowered their threshold here in Nevada. They've cut it in half.
Damn.
But, folks, if you were unaware, Nick Diaz received a 5-year ban for having about a little over 300 nanograms of cannabis in his system. And we can laugh now because this was insanity was overturned
eventually. He got it knocked down to 18 months.
Yeah, he eventually got it knocked down to 18 months, but it was such an uproar that there was
it ended up being like a 2-year ordeal, though.
There was a White House petition. I actually signed it too. I'm not one to go sign in fucking change.org petitions, but yeah, I did too. And it got enough where Obama had to make a statement because they have a thing, and if you get enough signatures, like they'll take it to the president. And he said he couldn't get involved in a state issue such as that because it's obviously a state's rights issue. But it was cool that the fans went up. And, you know, Lucas Middlebrook was his attorney who's getting some fame in the circles of weed for things like that. He wound up, you know, challenging it in court or before the commission, and they eventually changed it, like you said, to 18 months. But that was one of the craziest things that's ever happened in sports.
Yeah, that was the most, like,
it would have affected the end of his career.
Suspension ever.
Yeah, he would have been 37 years old and 5 years without a fight coming back from fucking marijuana. And it was within that same year, a fucking steroid user, a dude, I don't remember who it was, but he got 9 months for like a straight up steroid, like
a
banned substance
too.
Steroid in
the
system.
The
got 9 fucking months.
We've talked about this in the past. These commissions have to take into account these guys' like window of opportunity. Like, some of these guys are getting suspended for like 4 or 5 years, like, when they're already 35 years old, just release them then.
Well, and
they're
it makes
done.
Even less like, sense, Paul, because in this situation that we're talking about with Diaz, he had a medical card from California for ADHD for cannabis, which is a legitimate condition that can be treated with cannabis. Okay, whether or not you believe in it or not doesn't fucking matter. The state of California recognizes that with a doctor's diagnosis. And at the time here in Nevada, this is before we got rec weed here, right? But we still had medicinal here, and Nevada recognizes other states' fucking cards. So he was legal. He could have gone to a medical dispensary here in fucking Nevada, which a member of the Nevada State Athletic Commission was a partial owner of at that time, bro.
Damn.
He owned a bullshit. And he could
That's
have
crazy.
Bought weed here legally, and then they fucking did that to him.
That's crazy.
Like, it was terrible. It was outrageous.
Yeah.
It's fucking outrageous.
It's the most ridiculous thing ever.
And it just shows you how fucked up the Nevada State Athletic Commission can be.
Yeah.
You know, but thankfully that got overturned. Nick, now he hasn't fought since then, unfortunately, which we were mentioning earlier, you know, that Nick hasn't come back. And that's why Anderson's calling him out for a return fight, because that got a rule of no contest.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately he lost originally.
I think that fight brings him out of bed, though.
I think it does, too.
You know.
Dude, I really dug it when he laid down on the mat and then calmed himself down and then he put his hands behind his back and then like stretched out. It was one of the craziest, most surreal things I've ever seen in a mixed martial arts fight. But Nick, man, he's the OG. And now you know, he hasn't fought, but he's still out there. I mean, they've got branded cannabis, like they have branded joints you can buy in like a package by a company called California's Finest. Unfortunately, we can't get it here in Nevada, but
yeah.
In California. So they do pre-rolls out there. They're in like a pack, like cigarettes. And his is for recovery. So it's an indica. And it says Nick Diaz Recovery. And then Nate has his own as well, which is a sativa strain branded energy. Now, I don't think they're growing that shit. They likely just license their names out. But good on them. Good on Nick. Yeah. I know he makes appearances all the time these days at dispensaries and clubs mm-hmm. and other things. And if you follow his fucking Instagram, the dude is smoking weed non-stop.
Yeah, every day.
So while maybe he's retired, maybe he isn't retired, he's we'll still see. A fighter who smokes, yep. And he's still relevant as
he and was he's the OG.
Out. He's the OG. And he was still called out by Anderson Silva within the past couple of days, which is yeah. amazing. So thanks to Nick for pioneering out there with cannabis and mixed martial arts, doing his fucking thing. That's pretty fuck sick. Yeah. Well, I think that brings our episode to a close today, Paul. Why don't we fire up this bowl we got layered here with that OMG THC white cheese and Burkle hash. We got both in there. And folks, if you're coming out here to Las Vegas or if you already live here, you got to try some hash. And the only people making it, OMG THC. Does that taste as good as it smells, dude? That stuff smells great, man. Hash has got that great distinctive smell.
Oh, yeah.
Delicious. Well, man, I want to thank everybody for listening. We appreciate each and every person tuning in tonight. You can find us on WBUZ95 on radio.net. That's our, or the Orange Radio app. It's on Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. out here in Vegas, 9 p.m. on the East Coast. We're on all the podcast outlets, of course, like iTunes, Google Play, all of the others, video on YouTube. Find all that info.
Subscribe button, like button.
Absolutely. Find all that info at SWATMMA.com. Or what else can you find, Paul?
You can find this shirt right here.
That's right. Click the gear button. You'll find the shirt that Paul's wearing, plus several others we have that just do a little bit of a blend of different combat sports and cannabis. If that's your thing, grab a shirt, show us some support, because we appreciate all of you and thank you so much. We're going to get back to this bowl here. Hope you're smoking on some fine cannabis wherever you are, and we will catch you all next week. Peace.
Later. How did that one go?